Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
It's Freestyle Friday, and I am Glenn DeGeek from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for March 4th, 2011, episode 90, sponsored by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, Horse World.
I can't take it anymore.
Thank God it's Friday.
I would like, if I may, to take you on a strange journey.
We worked all week so that we can eat and own a little piece of God's ground. Pushing papers and pens, red tape never ends. The stress can turn a smile into a frown. I mean some horsing around.
Oh, yeah. It is going to be a big horsing around weekend for so many people, myself included. But we want to hear from you guys. We've had a long week. We're tired. We've done like a show a day. I mean, it's been just incredibly busy. So we want to invite you guys to call 347-637-3238. What are your weekend plans? I've got a couple good, at least one good news. And then my weekend plans, and then I'll tell you what I'm going to do after that. You there, Glenn?
Okay. I'm ready. Yeah, I'm here. I'm just listening away. It's Freestyle Friday. That means I don't have to talk, by the way. That just means I'm going to sit here and listen to you the entire show. I'm tired.
That's not going to work.
That's not going to work?
That's not going to work. No. But here's the good news, and I want you all to celebrate with me. I found the perfect home for the pony. Pony is officially relocated.
Yay! So your pony is liberated from you?
The pony is liberated from me is pretty much what happened. Our Hackney pony that we got from a really horrible situation we've had for about 5 months. We kind of got him back into shape, did a lot of groundwork with him. He's a Hackney, so he's just clearly too small for me to ride. He's like an 80-pound weight limit. So I've been struggling with what to do with him because I wanted to find him a good home. So I put an ad up on Craigslist trying to find him a home. And I got so many phone calls and emails from idiots. my ad said this horse clearly is not broke to ride. He needs training. He's this. You know, you're going to have to train him. He's not kid safe. Then people would call or email going, my son is really a good rider. I think he'd be okay on him. I'm like, really? How old's your son? Well, he's two. Like, he poops in his diaper. He's two. Okay? He's not a good rider right now. So I've really struggled with the person to keep him and find a perfect home for him, although no shortage of people that wanted him. I'm not kidding you. Two streets away, a woman answers my Craigslist ad, and she's like, I think we're in the same neighborhood. Two streets away, a woman has minis that she drives. She teaches them all to drive, and she's been looking for a bigger horse, being a bigger pony. So she came over twice Wednesday and once yesterday and finally took him home. And she just put the halter on him and led him home. It is a perfect home. She
to walk him down the street?
Yeah. Well, we live in an equestrian community, so you can just walk your horse down the street. There's a whole, like, path for you to do that. So she just put the halter on him and led him home. It's like a mile away. So Pony Napoleon the Giant Small Pony has found a new home, and she already emailed me this morning saying that he starts his training today. She's hired a trainer to come over to help her teach him to drive, and at 2 o'clock today, he has his first training session. Yay! Perfect home for the pony. I'm so excited.
The harness is about the size of a dog harness, I think. But yeah, so that's great. You'll have to keep us up to date. We'll have to keep watching the progress of the wild pony.
I know. We're going to have to. And that's what's really awesome is that she wants to put him into training. She's like, I need to get him a cart and harness that's going to fit him. And, you know, I was just trying to rehome him for $250. And I just told her, I said, listen, take that $250 you were going to pay me and put it into his training. Because this is such a perfectly welcoming, warm home for him, considering the horrible existence he had before. You know, she was like, oh, my God, that's so nice. I'm like, yeah, go. Take that money, put it into his training, and make us all happy. So that was exciting. He's got
Yay.
A new home, and it's perfect. So I'm excited.
And that means you have an empty stall for another horse for you.
Well, see, Glenn, that's where the other part comes in. It was the home came at the perfect place because one of my students, they found, remember we've been pony shopping.
Oh, yeah,
pony.
We found a pony.
We found a pony, so we're taking him on trial. I go pick him up Monday at 10:30. So the good news is I have 5 stalls and currently 4 horses. The 5th horse will come in on Monday morning, and he's not mine. So I have 2 boarders now and only 3 horses myself, and one is 25 years old. So I'm very happy with my horsey existence right now. I'm like, honey, we're down to 3. And Chad's like, 3? Really? 3? Do we need 3? I was like, yes, we do. 2 for me, 1 for you.
That's right.
So
that's
right. It's really good.
Well, good.
And then finally, Jimmy Wofford. This Saturday, I'm so excited, going to audit a Jimmy Wofford clinic here in Phoenix. So that's the good news. That's Saturday, and then Sunday is cleaning the house because I'm going to have to clean from top to bottom, weed outside. I'm going to have to do every little detail possible around the house because my in-laws are coming on Monday.
Ah, in-law time.
Yeah.
We're
going
to have to get them on the radio show Monday morning for a couple minutes. Go and wake them up. Tell them to come in.
Not a chance.
Say hi on the show.
Not a chance. Keep on dreaming.
So how long are the in-laws staying for? Are they passing the over the 3-night becomes awkward limit?
They're coming in Monday and they're leaving Wednesday. So no 3-night limit. We're all going to a baseball game on Tuesday. And then, exciting, awesome baseball game. Going to go see the World Series winning Giants go play.
That's appropriate that you go torture the in-laws. I think that's appropriate.
Except for he's the biggest Giant fan ever, my father-in-law.
Oh, okay.
So, no, it's good. So we're going to do that on Tuesday. And then, you know, I'll think of you the whole time, thinking of how excited you'd be at the baseball game with us. So
yes,
that's our weekend plan.
Well, we'd like to hear what your weekend plans are. If you have something fun planned this weekend with your horses, give us a call at 347-637-3238. We were honest. We're tired. It's Friday. You know, it's been a long week, and Jamie and I are just tired of talking, so help us out here. 347-637-3238. Jennifer, what's coming up on today's show? Jennifer's on mute, so we can't hear her.
Oh,
so
I'm sorry.
We'll
I have the button.
There you
go. I'm tired,
It's Friday.
Yeah, Jennifer's tired, too.
I'm tired, too. I got big bags under my eyes. It's no holds barred, folks. As Glenn and Jamie mentioned, we're a little bit punchy. But today we're going to get to know gated Morgans. That you didn't even know there were gated Morgans. It's going to be a very interesting conversation, I'm sure. And then we're going to be learning a little bit about what it's like to be a intern at the Chronicle of the Horse. And talking to interns is always interesting because they, you know, you get the real dirt from them because what do they got to lose, right? And then, of course, we're going to have plenty of gossip, lots of goofing off, and plenty of losing focus. So stay tuned.
Well, Lisa from the Chronicle is usually the one that's on here, and I can't believe that she's throwing this poor girl under the bus with us on a Friday, and we're all in a mood. This poor intern girl from the Chronicle, I hope she's not listening right now because she just won't come on. But, that'll be fun later on. We'll definitely be doing that. And, you know, we talk about gated horses, isn't there? When you really get down to the technical term, isn't every horse gated? Doesn't every horse have gates?
I'm going to say that every horse is not gated, and how dare you.
But every horse has gates. We all walk, trot, canter. Those are gates.
Don't do this to me on a Friday. My brain, I can't wrap my brain around that.
Daily Winnie time. First Daily Winnie today goes out to our listeners, our wonderful listeners from around the world, for helping put Horse Girl TV and Angela over the 3,000 mark on Facebook. Good job, guys. We asked for you to do that yesterday when Angela was on, and within a half an hour, we had put her over 3,000. So, nice work. We appreciate your help with that, and I know Angela does, too. And now, it's time for the second one.
My Daily Winnie goes to Jackie Rollins, who posted on our Facebook page a laugh break, as she called it. She said that all horsemen know, and this is kind of like a Murphy's Law kind of thing, but all horsemen know that the best medications come in either indelible blue or neon yellow. It's true. It's like you've got the blue stuff or the yellow stuff, but she didn't mention the black stuff also that you have to put inside the horse's hoof. And that, of course, you put the red stuff on the outside, the silver stuff after that.
Yeah,
I mean,
you're
totally
talking
true.
Horse husband talk. That's horse husband talk, right?
Exactly. Grab the blue stuff, grab the yellow stuff, grab the black stuff, and we'll go ahead and put the clay stuff, the gray stuff, on the leg, too. That's totally true. She also said that no one notices how you ride or even if you're riding until you fall off. Totally true.
That's true. That is true. Yep. Who cares if you're not falling off?
The clippers always break when the horse is half-clipped. Totally true.
Yeah, that's true.
This is, I'm curious to know, Glenn, because I think horse women do this. I want to know if horse husbands do this. She said it's just fine to eat a sandwich while mucking out stalls.
I can honestly say I've probably never eaten a sandwich while mucking out stalls. Even chewing gum sometimes is a risk because you open your mouth and stuff goes in. So
Glenn,
I can honestly say if
I'm going to tell on you. I'm telling.
What? What did
last
I do?
Last weekend you were eating donut holes while cleaning stalls.
Ooh, see. It's not a sandwich.
But, but I have to defend myself a little bit here because it's Friday. I go outside the barn and grab a donut hole and then go inside and clean and then go outside the barn to the car and grab a donut hole and then go inside and clean. I kind of had a system.
So basically what I'm hearing is that when you go and you muck stalls and you're getting exercise, you're really just packing on the pounds because you're stuffing your mouth full of donut holes.
Okay, and that would be my wife Jennifer's fault because she has this thing that on weekends she has to get Dunkin' Donuts. It's just required. If she doesn't get her Dunkin' Donuts on Saturday and Sunday mornings on weekends, it's the only time she has them, she will she's miserable. So I've just conceded now and said, well, as long as you're going to the Dunkin' Donut place, you might as well pick me up some, too. So it's all her fault.
Well, listen, this laugh break list, I found a couple more, and you have to see if you agree with me. If you build a 4-stall barn, you will have 4 to 5 horses. If you build a 12-stall barn, you will have 12 to 13 horses. Is that true? Do you agree with me?
Yes, I think it's actually more than that. I think if you build a 12-stall barn, you're going to have 15 horses if you do it the way Darcy does. Or you might have 20
horses.
You
could be listening.
You know.
Better watch out.
Yeah, so you're always going to have a dozen more horses than you have stalls. It just seems to be the way it works. It's a girl thing. It's a horse girl thing.
It is. I mean, it's like we have the stalls, sort of. I mean, we can rotate. They can share. Because, you know, technically I have four stalls and I'm going to have five horses. But we have a round pen, and that's what the round pen is for. I'm not quite sure what I'm going to do in the summertime when the sun is beating down. We're going to have to build a shed for the other one.
Put a roof on the round pen, honey. We're going to put a roof on the round pen.
A covered round pen. That's brilliant, Glenn. I love that idea.
So much for training horses. Who needs to train horses in there anyway?
I know. It's a good shed. The other thing is, if you're wondering if you left the water on in the barn, you did. And if you're wondering if you closed the pasture gate, you didn't. And that I seriously have to check my hose because I flooded my stalls more than once. And I have to check the gates every night because I just cannot sleep. I'll panic.
Do you ever wonder if you left the iron on?
Yeah, you probably leave the house. I was just going to say, does she wonder if she leaves the stove on but she doesn't cook? Or, yeah, you do cook, actually.
I cook every night, but I definitely don't iron. I think if you want something ironed, iron it yourself. I think that also horses' misbehavior, like the worse your horse is how many people are watching. And that's so true because
that
I had a lesson the other day, and I was teaching this poor child, and her mother and father came, and then her grandparents came, and then her aunt and uncle came. It was like a crew of people. And this child is quite capable of posting trot, okay? She does like posting trot over the poles, blah, blah, blah. She takes three steps, loses her stirrup, and falls off. In front of everybody. And she was fine, but I mean, her pride was so hurt. I felt so bad for her because if nobody was there, she'd have been fine. But she just got way too nervous. Couple more little horse rules for you is that the least useful horse in your barn is going to eat the most, require the most expensive shoes, and need the vet the most. I think that's totally true.
That is
my
true.
House. For
that
sure. My thoroughbred is always lame. You know, he's always seeing the vet. Oh, wait, he's got a tooth problem. Oh, he needs his special shoes on. And then the last and final thing that I came up with, and I live by this, is the most important tool in your entire barn is baling twine.
Yeah.
How many things
and
do
duct
you
tape.
Use baling twine for? Well, duct tape too, but baling twine is going to be in your barn no matter what. Yeah, duct tape and baling twine.
Now,
yeah, I agree. Totally.
Let me pose this question to you, Jamie. Do
okay.
you guys out there have old-fashioned sisal baling twine, or do you have that newfangled plasticky green or orange baler twine?
It's not the brown old-school baling twine at all. No, it's like blue and yellow and green and all that.
Kind of the plasticky
stuff. But it's still...
Yeah,
it's still incredibly useful.
Well, the new plasticky stuff, if you're really using it for around the barn, is better because it being plasticky, it lasts a little longer.
It does. It does, and I think it's
repair.
A little bit stronger.
Yeah.
It's harder to cut, that's for sure.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, you can't use the shedding blade.
I actually my really poor version of opening hay is, and don't try this at home, but I'm the only one who feeds for the most part. I keep a steak knife out in the hay.
Steak knife.
Only have 4 to 6 bales of hay here at a time. I get it from my neighbor's house. I just buy it from them and bring it down here because I don't have a shed, and it never rains here but like twice a year. So you can keep your hay out for the most part if you keep a small stack and have a tarp that I cover it with. So the steak knife comes out of the bale of hay, and I cut the twine, and then I stick the steak knife point down into another bale. I know
that's better than I thought you were going to say. I really, really thought you were going to say that you had a hatchet out there and you cut them open with a hatchet. That's what I was picturing for some reason.
See, the hatchet, Glenn, is currently in the back of my pickup truck because I have to use the blunt end of the hatchet to get my gooseneck down over the ball and to close the ball because it's so, my trailer's so old that to close the ball or close the gooseneck around the ball, it has to be hit with a hammer. And for some reason, the hammer I have is the back of a hatchet. Is that
have you ever heard of this handy-dandy stuff called grease?
It's not the grease. It doesn't matter. I've greased the ball. I've greased the whole thing. It just doesn't slide over very well. Trust me, I've had the trailer for like 6-7 years.
We're going to have to do a whole show on trailer nightmares sometimes because, boy, we've all had them. Hey, I have one more. Thank you for that list, by the way, Jamie. That's fun and also true. And thank you to Jackie Rollins for posting that. Feel free to post any funny stuff you want to. You know, we need help. As I said, we need help here on the show. It's just Jamie and I just prattling away. So post any funny stuff you want to on our Facebook page. We appreciate it. But I do have one more daily Winnie. And this one goes out to Courtney King Dye. You know, she had her accident there, more than a year ago now, and she was in a really tough spot. Well, for the first time, Lindsay let me know that there was a news report, I think out of Channel 2 down there in Florida near Wellington, where they did a news report on hippotherapy, and Courtney King Dye was in it, and it was one of the first times that you've seen her since her accident on video and also heard her speak. So I actually have this audio for you that was taken off of this news report, and I'd like to play it for you. Courtney, you know, it was so nice in this video, and we'll post it on our Facebook page. It was so nice in this video to see her riding on a horse again, and it's been a long road for her. She has a long way to go, as you'll see in here in that video. But, you know, shout out to her. She's really out there promoting helmets and now, you know, was willing to go on video to talk about hippotherapy and the importance of that. So here's the audio from that news report.
This unique form of physical, occupational, and speech therapy involving horses is changing lives. It may seem like a risky idea to pair a disabled person with a powerful animal, but horses are helping many make great strides toward recovery. CBS2's Manuel Gallegos has more on what's known as hippotherapy.
Let's go towards K.
Courtney King Dye is determined to be a champion again. The former Olympian and top dressage rider suffered a severe accident last year when the horse she was training stumbled and slammed her to the ground. She was in a coma for a month. Now, little by little, Courtney is conquering the brain injury that left her unable to remember, walk, or speak.
Trying hard makes me feel better.
Courtney is using all of her strength for a type of therapeutic riding called hippotherapy. The exercises are gradually improving her brain function, muscles, and nervous system.
When we gave her the ability to direct the horse's movement, that's when we started seeing some really major progress.
It might be hard to see why horseback riding is helpful, but therapists say the movement between the rider and the horse provides a benefit that just can't be achieved anywhere else.
The energy moving through the horse moves through the person, and the rider is allowed to feel normal movement maybe for the first time.
There you go.
At Vincent Ramos Therapeutic Riding Center in Florida, specially trained horses help with all sorts of disabilities. 6-year-old Amy was born premature.
There definitely is a science behind it, but to those of us who see it work every day, it's a bit more like magic.
One more time.
Courtney's goal is to compete again.
It might be a couple years back, but we'll look at this as a hilarious adventure.
And she's counting on the animal she loves to get her back in the ring. Manuel Gallegos, CBS 2 News.
Boy, they're right about magic here, huh? Experts say hippotherapy.
Well, there was there it was, and, you know, congratulations for her for sitting on a horse again. She did look happy on that horse, and I posted the video over on our page as well. You can go there and take a view of it, and, you know, good job, Courtney, for getting back up there, and, you know, it just reminds us to wear our helmets. You know, that's what it reminds us.
Absolutely. What a story, but you know what? All horse people know how therapeutic horses are. It's just funny to listen to those newscasters sit there and go, you wouldn't think a horse is therapeutic. Yeah, you would. I would. I think they're the most my friend has a T-shirt, and I want one so bad. It says, I ride my therapist every day.
That's right.
Totally true.
That's right. Totally true. Hey, we have a caller here, and it is Katie from Kentucky Performance Products, and of course, Kentucky Performance Products is the title sponsor for every Wacky Friday. Aren't you guys so lucky, Katie, that you ended up on Fridays when we are just out of control?
Well, I love it, really. I can call in and be as wacky as I want.
That's true. That is true. So what's going on over there?
Oh, not too much. I just wanted to let listeners and fans know what's going on the Kentucky Performance Products Facebook page. We are doing fan shout-outs. And what fan shout-outs are, they are a way for the fans and listeners to tell us about their favorite stable, trainer, place where they ride, or even showgrounds. And it's a good way to recognize and support the equine industry at the grassroots level. And we hope to repost these farms, stables, and trainers, and let people know that these opportunities are out there, and it's a great way to say thank you to the people that allow us to enjoy our passion for horses. And, you know, these farms, stables, places to ride, you know, they really have a positive impact on the equestrians. I can remember where I started to ride, and thank heaven for it. It was such a great place to be, and certainly has led me to many different adventures in the equine world. So stop by the Kentucky Performance Products Facebook page and tell us about your favorite place and horse activity and whatnot.
Jamie, do you remember the first barn you rode at?
Oh, absolutely. Little Creek Farm in Atlanta, Georgia. It's still there, actually. And I spent countless hours. I mean, I can't even tell you how many hours I spent there. It's not even... I mean, I would feed. I was like 12 years old, and I was the weekend feeder. And they would, my mom would drop me off at 7 to feed, and then I would be there all day until about 7 p.m. to feed night.
Awesome.
Yeah. And then the thing was, it was a public boarding facility. There was like 50 horses there, and the phone would ring on the weekends, and you always knew it was somebody asking you to do something for their horse. They'd call the line, anybody answer, hey, do you mind turning my horse out? Because the weekends they didn't clean stalls or turn out or anything. And I mean, it was a race between me and my girlfriends to run to that phone. Like, what can we do for somebody? Baby, you want us to ride your horse? Oh, my God. Okay, totally. It was absolutely like that. And all the adults were like, don't answer it. Don't answer. Are you not going to answer it? Okay, me neither. I'm like, oh, shit! Yeah, we all have those places that we grew up, especially. So I think that's a really cool idea. And boarding facilities, really, honestly, it's almost a thankless job because you deal with boarders. And I'm sorry, horse women tend to be a little bit, I mean, we're particular, and we like to complain. So things aren't done perfect.
I was going to say, is that the only word you're going to use, is particular? I could come up with a few more.
Listen, keep pipe down. I'm talking to Katie here.
I was thinking that's kind of all ladies, isn't it?
Exactly. But horse women in particular, we can be a little bit particular about our horses. You know, and so most boarding facilities, they don't make a lot of money. And they really do it because they love it. So I definitely, you know, go in there and give your boarding facility a shout out. So is it facebook.com/KPP or what?
Let me double check on that. I believe it's / Kentucky Performance Products, but certainly if they put search up, you know, in the search window, Kentucky Performance Products will come up. We've got a green icon with a white horse. That's our logo. And, we would love for you to recognize those places that just, you know, are so special in your heart. Like you said, Jamie, they don't get recognized enough for the positive impact they have on our lives. So we'd love to hear about them.
We just whine about there's not enough shavings in the stall, and this hay isn't good enough, and how much are you feeding them? I don't think you're feeding them enough. And are you really cleaning out the wet spots?
I could have
Jennifer
so many-
and I, we owned a boarding stable for a lot of years, and I'm just over here laughing because some of the stuff was just bizarre. I mean, just bizarre.
What was the weirdest?
I'm trying to think back. You know, we had some, you know, where you have more than two women, you have bickering and fighting. And that's what happens at a boarding stable. You know, so-and-so can't have my horse next to so-and-so, or I can't be over next to so-and-so, or, you know, my horse can't be out with her horse because her horse picks on my horse. And you know darn well it's the first horse that's doing all the picking. But, you know, and you're right. Nothing's ever right. No matter what you do or how hard you try, it's just not right. But, you know, that we say that, though, but that's only the 20%. The 20% of the whiners, 80% of them are fine, but it's that loud 20% that causes all the problems. That's always true, I think.
It is, but it's worth it, and it's fun, and we love it, so deal with it.
That's right. Let's focus on the positive, because, you know, after you've had a rough day, there's nothing better than going out to those places and being able to have a horse and to have that therapy, as you said, Jamie. It's super important to your well-being, really.
And I'll finish with this. I'll give you that, Katie, because some of the best friends that we have made and are still friends with 20 years later were boarders at our stable, or they were kids that were working with us, or working students, things like that. They're still our best friends today. So you do make lasting friendships over the horses and all the bickering and whining at the stable.
Right. We all share that common bond, that love for the horses. So. Yeah, that I can see where that happens, and I bet it's really fun to see where they've gone now and see what they've accomplished. It must be really neat.
Yes, cool. Well, thank you for that. We appreciate it. And
hey,
do you have any weekend plans coming up with the horses?
Well, I get to enjoy a life that I don't normally lead day to day. I am farm sitting, so I get to pretend I have horses for a whole week, and I'm going to have a blast with that. So I've got, you know, to be out there for the vet on Saturday, so... Yep, I'm going to be up to my elbows in a real equine life for a while.
Well, cool. You have fun with that, Katie, all right?
Thank you, guys. You guys have a great weekend and a happy Friday.
Happy Friday. Call my cell phone, Katie, when you get
done.
Okay,
this half hour was, or this show was sponsored by Kentucky Performance Products. Choose Kentucky Performance Products supplements because the horse that matters to you matters to Kentucky Performance Products. This week, we want to speak with you about Endure Extra. Are you struggling to put weight on your horse? Is your horse maxed out on grain but still needs more energy? Are you dealing with muscle and metabolic challenges? If so, try Endure Extra. Endure Extra contains 50% fat, which provides low starch energy while reducing the risk of grain overload. Endure Extra is a super concentrated blend of fat, so you can feed as little as 8 ounces per day. Each 8-ounce serving contains 1,000 IU, which we learned what that was last week, and I still don't have any clue, of natural vitamin
units.
E. Oh, yeah, okay, 1,000 international units, which nobody has any idea what size that is, of natural vitamin E, which supports normal muscle function and maintains immunity. Gain the inside advantage with Endure Extra by visiting kppusa.com. Hey, I did that whole thing with all the big words without messing up a thing on a Friday. How about that?
I'm going to give you a cookie. You get a
Thank
gold star.
You. I appreciate that because I really don't have a problem putting weight on. I do that very well. And I'm not maxed out on grain. I think I could eat more.
And
so.
You know, I'm laughing inside because that is the complete opposite problem that I have with all of our horses.
We don't have a problem
putting weight on. We're lucky like that. But I did have thoroughbreds before that were tough, but not anymore. These suckers, I'm like, just breathe. You'll get fat.
Yeah. Well, that's terrific. We have our first guest coming up here in a couple of minutes. But you know what? It's Freestyle Friday. We can do the what the heck we want. What do you say we play a song before we get to our guest? You up for that?
Let's do it.
Marianne Kennedy, one of my favorites, Gotta Go Feed.
Gotta give them hay, gotta go feed the horses because it's a brand new day. Gotta go feed the horses, gotta feed them now. Gotta go feed the horses because horses need the chow. No time for coffee, can't take time for me. Gotta take care of the animals, so many mouths to feed. Gotta go feed, got to go feed. Gotta go feed, gotta go feed, gotta go. Gotta go feed the chickens, gotta gather eggs. Gotta go give them crack corn so they don't refuse to lay.
Go feed the chickens,
gotta go
Jamie.
Gotta the hen house before the morning's through. I can hear that rooster singing cock-a-doodle-doo. Procrastination,
oh, yeah.
Get out of that bed. Each and every morning, everybody must be fed. Gotta go feed, got to go feed.
That sounds like my neighborhood right there.
Sounds like your house.
Sounds like my house. And my neighbors have roosters. So, yeah, that definitely brought me right home. So that was Marianne Kennedy, Gotta Go Feed. And, oh, my gosh, okay, bizarro, I just remembered the dream that I had when I woke up this morning by listening to that Marianne Kennedy song. And this is just really strange, but I dreamed that I was – hanging out with Templeton Thompson, and we were eventing together. And I was at the start box, and I didn't have my vest on, and I didn't have my penny because you have to wear a number, and I didn't have anything that I'm supposed to have, and I'm like a second from going out on cross country. And I looked at Templeton, and she was supposed to go after me, and she let me borrow her vest and her whip and her gloves and her number.
Oh. Wow, there's a Templeton saves the day.
I know. And what's funny is I've never met her, you know, but we were apparently eventing together and she let me borrow stuff and I was like, I'll be back in 4 minutes and then I'll give it right back to you. I really need to take a vacation.
There's a song in there somewhere. There's a song in there.
Yes, there is. That's awesome. Okay, so our next guest is on the air. And we're going to do a little bit of a breed spotlight because this is pretty cool. I didn't know about it. And Valley is going to give us a little bit more information about Morgans, but not just any Morgans, gated Morgans. So, Valley, hello. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I have to go feed the chickens, though. I'll be right back.
Feed
we
my
like
mother
her
out there.
Already, yeah.
My guinea bird pecks on my back door if I don't get outside in time.
Is that right?
Are you
I'm
serious?
Very demanding. I'm serious. She's a clown.
My chickens just sleep on my patio, so I totally know how you feel. You walk outside and there's a chicken poo everywhere.
Yeah, I was just going to say, ours just pooped on everything. That's what.
Yes. So you are telling us, tell us a little bit about yourself, because I'm reading something about you, and I'm going to quiz you. You are a judge for gated breeds. Tell us about that.
I am. Yes, I am an IJA judge, which is an independent judging association, under the guidelines of FOSH, Friends of Sound Horses, which are the national organization to... you know, that are working to stop soaring.
Yay!
Mainly
Yay!
So,
you get a round of applause for that.
Thank you very much. I went to the FOSH judging clinic several years ago just to learn more about gait, because what I was seeing is that, you know, gated Morgans do what all the other gated breeds do, and I think they all do the gates all across the spectrum, depending on the conformation of the horse, depending on the tack, on the frame, and all the other things that affect gated horses. And so I went to the FOSH clinic to learn more about gait, and what I learned was about soaring, which I didn't know about before. And then I got all involved in that. So
now, for those who don't know what soaring is, just give a brief overview, because I think it's really important what you're doing, being on the opposing end of that. But tell, in a just brief, don't try to get everybody fired up and call in, but
yeah.
Just give us a brief overview on what soaring is and why it's important to get rid of it.
Well, soaring is a tactic that's used by trainers or exhibitors on horses to attain a more animated gait out of their horse. And many are referred to as big lick walking horses. Not all big lick walking horses are soared, excuse me, but there has been evidence in scarring and chemical detection that the horses are being soared to gain a larger extension of their gait in the
front
end.
So chemicals put on their coronary bands.
To burn their skin, their hair, and actually injure them, if you can imagine that,
oh.
And get them to keep their feet up off the ground. So they're
just,
more animated.
Yeah, so when they step down, it hurts, and they pick their foot up even higher. And it's amazing that people do that. I can't even imagine.
And it's been illegal since 1974 under the Horse Protection Act. But there's no good way, you know, there hasn't been a really good way to police all that. Although, you know, there's been a lot of things that have happened in recent years, you know, and people are kind of coming around, you know, to understand that it's the wrong thing to do and it's not fair competition. So,
well, you know, it only took about 35 years, so from when it was illegal to now. So, that's good.
But anyway, that's how I learned about it, was just wanting to get GATE educated, and then I got involved with the FOSH organization and learned about that. And
well, that's great. Now, when I was reading your bio, it says that you are a judge for 14 different gated breeds.
14 gated breeds are in the FOSH judging manual.
Okay, here's your pop quiz. Because I didn't know there were 14 gated horses. Can you name all 14?
Oh, my gosh. well, you know, I think I can try.
Okay.
Morgans, I got that one.
Well, actually, yes, there are gated Morgans. There are Tennessee walking horses. There are Kentucky Mountain saddle horses. There are the United Mountain horse, the Florida Cracker horse, the Missouri Foxtrotter, the Tennessee Walking horse. Did I say that? The Rocky Mountain horse. The Spanish Jennet horse. And the Gated Spanish Mustang. The Tiger horse.
Tiger horse?
Really?
Tiger horse. Yes, the Tiger horse. And, you know, don't quote me, but I'm thinking that it's a sort of a relation to, like, the Appaloosa. I mean, I've seen them, and they gait. They kind of do a little racking gait, and they're just spotted all over.
Yeah, I just looked them up, and you're right. They look like Dalmatian horses.
Yeah. I've also seen them, though, where they're not spotted at all, you know, but they are breeding stock, and they will throw spotted horses. So,
sorry.
Yes.
I'm going to have to post this picture on Facebook when I Google tiger horse. Please Google tiger horse images. And there's a picture of a rearing horse with tiger stripes with whiskers and the ears and everything. Oh, God, that was funny. Sorry. I was trying to pay attention.
Yeah. I don't know if I named all 14 breeds. I tried really hard. Did I
you
get the mountain 10. Horse?
That's good. The mountain horse. There you go. Close enough. I'm impressed. I'm impressed. So tell us a little bit more
about the Mangoador Marchador. I forgot that one. There's one people don't hear about very often.
Yeah, I don't even know what you're talking
Mangalarga Marchador horse. Look that one up. And the racking horse.
And the racking. Okay, I think you've got 14. I'm impressed. I am very
okay. At least I got like 99%.
That's funny. So tell us a little bit about the Morgan horse racking. Is that a trained behavior or is it a natural behavior?
Oh, well, hopefully it's natural. You know, it does come natural in these horses. The Morgan breed, as you guys probably know, started with Justin Morgan. He's referred to by the name of his owner and so recorded in the registry, but he's actually, his name was Figure, from 1789 to 1821. Justin Morgan and his sons were bred by Minnie, a pacing mare. Sherman's Dam, which was Justin's son, was believed by many historians to be a Narragansett pacer. Woodbury, another one of his sons, and the Dam of Blackhawk was also believed to be a Narragansett pacer.
Now,
and so that's where the gate comes through the Morgan breed.
Was Blackhawk involved with the foundation of the Tennessee Walking Horse? That sounds familiar.
Well, way back in there, yes.
Yeah,
actually,
I thought so. Okay.
The very first registered Tennessee walking horse, Allen F1, was out of a registered Morgan mare.
Okay, so the gated line, the gated lineage of Morgans really sprouted up other gated breeds in America.
Absolutely. I mean, it's behind Foxtrotters, and well, the Morgans are behind, you know, most American breeds. But it's behind, you know, there are Morgan horses behind some of the lines of many of the gated breeds in America. And they all of the gated Morgans are registered to the American Morgan Horse Association. However, there is not an allowance for, you know, saying on their registration papers whether they're gated or not.
Okay.
And the reason being is because, you know, the registry is not qualified to confirm the gait in a horse. And so you can't put on the registration papers, oh, that horse was gated, you know, because who's going to confirm that? And so, you know, the registry, that's not what they're there for. You know, they're to register pedigree, you know, and so they don't address the gated Morgan issue.
Okay,
and
so
we have another organization that does, you know, just an organization of breeders and admirers and owners of the gated Morgan horses called the Morgan Single Footing Horse Association. And single footing is a Western term for gated. And gated is like east of the Mississippi, and single footers are west of the Mississippi.
Really?
Yeah.
So is that a different class, or is that just the way people call them? What people call
them? Single footer is a cowboy term, and gated is a Eastern term.
Okay, a little East Coast action.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. I didn't either. We're learning so much. I didn't even know there were gated Morgans. So when they're showing, when you go to a Morgan show, just like going to any breed show, they've got all the different classes, and it's like the end of the day they do the gated Morgan classes, or
no,
is it a whole different show altogether?
You will not find a gated Morgan showing at a Morgan horse show.
Really?
They do not have a class for gated Morgans, and the reason being is that the numbers are just not there. You know, I mean, let's say AMHA had a Class A Morgan show, and at the end of the day, they have a gated Morgan class. There probably wouldn't be any gated Morgans there because there are so few of them. I mean, this is a rare horse, You know, less than a couple thousand. I personally know of 400 of them maybe.
Oh, wow.
And I'm sure there's more out there. But so when you spread them out all over the country, there aren't enough of them to actually have a class for them. But there's not a USEF judging standard in the Morgan judging standard. There's not a standard for gated Morgans. You can only show them at open gated breed shows or FOSH shows.
All right. So is it something
that... There's plenty of places to show them. You know, there's plenty of places to show them if you want to show them.
Yeah, just the gated shows and stuff like that. Is it bred? Like, say there's a gated stud and then he breeds to a non-gated. Are you trying to get that trait from the line, or is it just kind of more random?
Well, you really want to breed gate to gate, you know, to concentrate that gate, and that's what most breeders today. You know, there's a handful of breeders, maybe six of us out there, breeding, line breeding and breeding gate to gate. You know, if you want to breed gate to non-gate, you do it the other way around. You breed a non-gated stallion to a gated mare because the mare is going to have the propensity for gate over the stallion generally. But really, and if you want to get gate to gate, you know, you breed gate to gate. In the Morgan breed, you can have a gated Morgan pop out anywhere in the entire Morgan family, and it happens all the time. People that are not breeding for gate and have been breeding this stallion or mare for years and showing or doing whatever they do will all of a sudden get a gated one.
And that's
weird.
Isn't that weird?
That is weird.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
And, you know, then, you know, hopefully they call us or Morgan Single Footing Horse Association, and we find an excited buyer for that gated Morgan because they can't use them because they're showing in walk trot classes, you know, so they need to send them to somebody that's using gated Morgans.
Well, that's kind of cool that you guys have made that extra effort to come together in a really good, organized fashion to preserve that breed characteristic, otherwise it would disappear. We actually had a Morgan that belonged to a student of mine that I don't think she was technically gated, maybe just because we trained her to walk, trot, and canter, But when she would get kind of full of herself and get naughty, she would do the gate thing. But what I'm curious about is,
yes,
I know almost nothing about non-walk, trot, canter gates. So when you have a Morgan that's gated, I know there's more than one kind of flat-footed gate in that it's a non-suspension gate. There's lots of different kinds. So when you have
there
a gated
is.
Morgan, do they all have the exact same extra gate, or does it vary a little bit, or is that really more determined by training than genetics?
Well, hopefully it's determined by genetics, and the strength of gait comes through the genetics. However, you know, there are those horses, and this isn't just in the Morgan breed. This isn't just gated Morgans, but in all gated breeds, you're going to find strengths and weaknesses in a gated horse. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they can perform a variation of the single foot, the rack, the running walk, the foxtrot, or the stepping pace. The rack is a faster version of the evenly timed running walk, while the foxtrot and the stepping pace are unevenly timed.
We could do an entire
show. Gated Morgan owners use descriptive terms such as ambling or broken pace to describe what their horses are doing.
Mm-hmm.
Some refer to a rack or a running walk as the old-fashioned single foot. Gated Morgans do one or more of these intermediate gates in place of or in addition to the trot.
Oh, so it's either or. Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, I have
you could really have a
five gated that are
Morgan.
Five gated. You know, they
wow.
walk, trot, canter, but they
talk about
do a running walk too.
I can't even manage to get a walk, trot, and canter right. I can't imagine having to figure out five gates.
it's not that hard. You know, you learn what the horse will do for you. You know, and they have their little sweet spots, you know, in your hands, where you, you know, you get them between your legs and your hands, and those that are the walk, trot, canter horses, you know, they're going to have a little spot. Now, there's the others that, you know, they won't trot. You know, you just sit on them, and they just do their gait. And, you know, ideally, those are the best breeding stock because they gait to speed. You know, when they gait, they gait faster and faster and faster, and they will never break to a trot. They'll break to a canter. That is your strongest breeding stock right there.
Huh. I didn't know that either.
Yeah.
Wow, this is a whole bunch of new information for us today. Where can
it
people
is.
Learn?
You need to start a forum on the radio show for gated horses.
I know, geez. Where can people learn more about gated Morgans especially?
Well, they can go to the Morgan Single Footing Horse Association website, which is gatedmorgans.org for the organization, gatedmorgans.org. And there's, 40-some-odd videos of gated Morgans, and there's information on gait on there. They can
Go ahead.
The FOSH judging rules is on the FOSH website, which is FOSH.info, FOSH.info. And then you'll see there's a dressage for gated horses. Yes, there is. And the dressage manual's on there, as well as the judging rules for the 14 gated breeds.
All right. Terrific. Well, Valley, we appreciate you being on with us today. That's gatedmorgans.org if you want to check it out. I did look up the for sale on equine.com, and I came up with one gated Morgan for sale. You're right, there aren't a whole lot of them out there, but I'm sure that they can get more information there, and if they're interested in more information, you can contact them at gatedmorgans.org. Thank you, Valley. We appreciate you being on.
Thank you for the time. See ya.
All right. See ya. Thanks a lot.
Hey, Glenn.
I learned a lot in that last one. I didn't know about the single-footed thing.
I know. I'm looking at our Facebook page, and Dolores said, more gated horses are the Pasofino and the Peruvian Paso. So she forgot those. I understand, Karen. We got it, the Pasofino. She got mad. They were left out. But I did post the picture of the tiger horse. You gotta go look.
Oh, yes, yes. I see. That is funny.
Okay, that'd be so awesome. Would that be the coolest thing, to have that horse? I want a tiger horse. Like,
I got to check this out. That's from freakingnews.com. We're going to have to keep that one in our freakingnews.com. There could be some, probably an adult warning when you go to freakingnews.com.
Yeah, yeah, was, not safe
yeah.
for work.
That's terrific. All right.
Well, I've got a news story for you.
This is
as bizarro as they come. If you like this kind of weird news, in Croatia, a married couple was arrested for being under suspicion of trying to sell their daughter to pay for a horse. Are you kidding me?
Okay, well, that's an addiction there. Maybe they
that
used
is
the
a
word.
Problem.
Yeah, there's a problem there.
And I thought it was funny that they're telling the man, 38, and his wife, 32, are said to have owed a man and his son money because they bought a horse worth 5,000 kuna. What is a kuna?
I guess
so
it's
money,
Croatian money,
about.
Huh?
I guess so. I've never heard of a kuna before. So everybody got arrested, all four. So the daughter is safe.
Good for them. Arrest them all.
Arrest them all, absolutely. And let's see, I was also Jimmy Wofford, after not getting his the chef to keep position and the coaching position,
and he didn't make
the short list. The man has not blogged in like 2 years. He has a blog. I think it's jimmywofford.blogspot.com. Hasn't written a blog in 2 years and wrote this on his blog yesterday. And I quote, "I was informed earlier today that I would not be included on the USEF Eventing Chef to Keep short list. Naturally, I am deeply disappointed. However, throughout this process, I have been touched by the encouragement and support I have received from around the country. Thank you all for your comments, letters, phone calls, emails, and blog posts. They meant more to me than I can say." Jimmy Wofford on not being the chef to keep and the new coach for the U.S. Eventing team. Unfortunately, I was sad. I was sad. I kind of was hoping it would be him, but you know, maybe Leslie Law, David O'Connor will get it, and who knows? Who knows what'll happen?
I vow it'll be one of those two. That's for sure. It'll definitely be one of those two.
Thanks.
Sorry. Feeling a little snarky this Friday. Well, let's take another break here for a song. It's Freestyle Friday, and then we're gonna come back and we're gonna chat with the intern over at the Chronicle of the Horse about what it's like to be at the Chronicle of the Horse and doing all of that. And we're gonna be doing that right after this. This song, I am playing this because if you remember right, one of my favorite groups in the horse world is the All American Cowgirl Chicks. Because they're all hot, and they are touring again, and of course that's Trish Lynn's group, and we play her music here, and they're touring again. They're going to be at a bull riding event in Liberty, Mississippi this weekend, and I'm going to play in honor of the All-American Cowgirl Chicks because they're hot, Rodeo World.
Howdy, everybody. I'm Bob Dahlman. Welcome to Fort Worth, Texas. Now, the higher they jump, the better they buck, the better you ride, more money to win. It's rodeo time, ladies. Let's ride.
Hey, I'm real proud of the life I'm living. The sad luck girls, I will keep on giving. Rolling down the road to the next show. It's a big thing we call the rodeo. They ride bulls and broncs from Fort Worth to Austin. My cowboy friends, yeah, they're awesome. It's where the cowgirl chicks ride for the red, white, and blue. It's the rodeo show, rodeo show. Come on out to the rodeo. You got your wild, wild west. Kick it up, kick it down. With a kick of rock. Yeah, I've been to Nashville and had my knock, so I came home where I belong, back to Texas where my roots are strong. And I admit my heart got broke, so I cowgirled up, had my mind made up that I was gonna make it to the real big show.
Rodeo.
It's the rodeo show, rodeo show. Come on out to the rodeo. You got your wild, wild west. Kick it up, kick it up. Made in the USA, the American way. Hey, it's the rodeo show.
Did I mention that the all-American cowgirl chicks are... This is Horses in the Morning. I am Glenn Geek, and I'm here with Jamie Dennis and Jennifer H., and we are just having fun on Freestyle Friday. And that was Rodeo World by Trish Lynn. You can buy all of her music at trishlynn.com. Just wanted to make sure that I mentioned that the All-American Cowgirl chicks are hot.
Hey, are you seriously? It's let me point something out to you, my friend. It is Friday. It is Friday, and
yes,
you're going to have the entire weekend to sit in the doghouse if you keep this up. I mean, let's think about it.
She's getting a guest on. She's not listening. She's busy.
The producer is your wife.
Yeah, but she's busy.
Can
she's
hear
getting a guest.
Everything.
She can't hear us. She can't hear us. She's busy. She's getting a guest on, so we're fine. It's okay.
Oh,
and it's good thing she doesn't listen back to the shows. That's all I can say. I'm happy about that.
We're having a loss of focus moment here, people.
Oops. Okay, she's back. Stop talking about her. Well, this
he was
half
definitely
hour is...
not objectifying other women. But go ahead.
No, I wasn't saying that the cowgirl chicks are hot. I wasn't saying that at all. This half hour is sponsored by Audible.com. Audible.com is the premier provider of digital audiobooks. We love Audible.com, my lovely wife and I, who's also hot. Audible has over 85,000 titles to choose from in every genre, from thrillers to business to romance, comedy, sci-fi, and even some horsey books. Audible's titles play on your iPhone, your Kindle, your Android, and over 500 different MP3 players and devices. You just go to their website and you can figure out whether your device is one of them. You download the audiobook to your device and you just listen. They have terrific books. They have great readers, and they just bring the book to life. It's much, much different than you sitting down and reading a book and flipping pages, because you can do it when you're driving or when you're riding or when you're cleaning stalls, when you're not listening to us. You can listen to Audible books, and they have a special deal just for our listeners of Horse Radio Network. They're offering a free audiobook download and a free 14-day trial to give them a chance to try out their service and their terrific books. So just go to Audible. This is important. Go to audibletrial.com/HRN for Horse Radio Network. Audibletrial.com/HRN. That's the only way you're going to get the free book and the free 14-day trial. So give them a try. We know you're going to love them. You're going to love listening to books this way. We appreciate Audible for their support of the show. Now it's time to speak with, chat with, and we're not going to pick on it all, Megan, who is, I'm seeing a note here, who is also from Lexington, and she is working as an intern at the Chronicle, so now we can get all the dirt we couldn't get from Lisa. Hey, Megan, welcome to the show. How are you?
Thank you for having me. I'm great. How are you guys?
So Lisa threw you under the bus and said you had to talk to us this morning. Did she explain what was going to happen here?
Well, she didn't give me a thorough run-through, but, you know, she said, talk a little bit about what's going on here, and I'm not sure what you're going to talk to me about, but I can tell you some pretty good stories, so.
Okay, yeah, well, we're gonna make sure we get those good stories. Whatever Lisa told you, just throw it out, because we're in a mood today. So,
oh, well, it's Friday, so.
Yeah, it's
you
Friday,
have right
that's right. Now, you're from Lexington?
I am. I grew up in Lexington. Both my parents still live there. I went to the University of Kentucky, and I just moved up here to Middleburg for the internship in January. So technically my home base is still Lexington, but I have to say Middleburg's giving Lexington a run for its money, so...
Well, now, usually, and Jamie will test this because I think she was an intern for a time at a place, but usually the interns are not paid, ill-housed, and they make them do all the crap work, like calling into our show. Is that the way it is at the Chronicle?
Well, I have to tell you, I have had several internships in my day. And this is so far definitely one of the best. And, you know, we pretty much are just, you know, kind of, we work as members of the staff, and, you know, from literally day one, they give you the rundown, and then they, you know, put their faith in you to produce some good material. And you really get a feel for exactly what it's like to, you know, be on the editorial staff here at the Chronicle. So, I'm a little bit older than maybe an intern right out of college, and, I it doesn't quite feel like an internship, because I've definitely had those internships that, you know, get the mail and make the coffee and all that kind of stuff. And there's nothing like that here. So.
Oh,
okay,
man, that's boring.
Yeah.
You're lucky.
It's definitely not boring.
My internship was at a radio station, and my internship I did get was at a sports talk station. So I was 22 years old. It was all dudes, and my jobs were like ridiculous. But he said, "Hey, we need you to go get an oil change in the car and fill up with the air and the tires, and then we're gonna." I'm like, "I'm the chick, and I'm doing all the car stuff. Really?"
I know. They are out there, and I've heard those horror stories. But I think even the first internship I had when I was in school still, I've lucked out. But this one by far definitely has the most responsibility, and you don't, you know, you really feel like a part of the team. So you step up and volunteer for things, and they don't say, you know, in the beginning I thought, well, maybe if I want to write this story, there's some reasons why I can't because I'm an intern. And they were like, no, go ahead, you know, volunteer for what you want. So.
Are you a horse person? I assume you're a horse girl.
I am. I think it's sort of a requirement in some sense to have some sort of equine knowledge here to work
for
the Chronicle.
What did you do? What kind of riding?
Well, I ride hunters, and, you know, when I was younger, I just did a little eventing around Lexington and stuff like that, but I also rode for the University of Kentucky, which, yeah, I'm a big fan of their program. You know, they still operate as, you know, a club sport. They don't have the university's, financial backing or anything yet, but they've been so successful, and they're really still very new to the national scene, so I had a great time riding with them, and, you know, I've done, you know, kind of a little bit of everything, trying to find my niche. You know, I rode a little bit in Europe, and now I'm really, really into the fox hunting up here right now. It's there's lots of tradition involved, and it's a way to meet people up here, for one thing. But
is drinking involved?
There's Irish whiskey involved occasionally.
Occasionally, yeah.
Yes, I guess that's one of the hunt's traditions. But each has their own thing, and you know, I've enjoyed talking to people about, you know, the background of each thing, and you know, because really that's what the culture of Middleburg up here, you know, really stemmed from. So it's anyone you walk around here and. Everyone always said before I came, oh, you'll see people in, like, their half chaps and, you know, and their boots and stuff in the grocery store, which, you know, we have one here. It's a Safeway. But it's true. The first time I ever walked in, I saw, like, three people in the produce aisle, like, you know, post-riding. So it's kind of it's a neat community. Definitely a lot of horse people.
Well, go ahead, Jamie.
I was going to say, now, if you're in Middleburg, are you seeing, as far as just horse people, you're probably seeing some kind of more famous horse people. Don't the O'Connors live around there?
The O'Connors are based, I think they're in, you know, they do the two season things, but they're based in the Plains, which is, yeah, definitely, you know, you can take one road up here and then you're in like three different cities or postal codes or something. But yeah, their establishment is up here really close to where we are. And I'm trying to think. Oh, eventing is very big up here. So there are a lot of, you know, your really well-known three-day event riders that have their kind of spring and summer things, the places up here around Pennsylvania and everything, you know, Virginia and Maryland. And then often, you know, of course, they go down to South Carolina for the winter, but they're probably making their trek back up north within the next 3 or 4 weeks.
So you could be at the grocery store, you're like reaching for a tomato, and David O'Connor reaches over and grabs a tomato from you. That's just cool.
That's
a cool place to live.
It is cool. I have to tell you that when I graduated from UK, I originally was doing public relations, and I worked for kind of like a celebrity PR firm, and I met all these celebrities, and I never had a sense of, you know, being kind of starstruck. But I was in Lexington for the World Equestrian Games, and I saw George Morris, which, of course, you know, as a young girl, I grew up reading, like, Hunter C. Equitation. And I was with somebody that knew him, and they introduced me to him, and I felt like a little girl all over again. I was like, oh, my gosh, you know, and nobody else besides a horse person would know who George Morris was. But and now I pick up the phone and have to call him, you know, for articles. So it's definitely really fun. And
that's awesome.
Yeah.
That is so cool. Yeah, every once in a while when you meet somebody who – I mean, granted, you meet somebody who's very famous and you're totally non-affected, and then the most random person completely throws you for a loop. That's great.
It's so true.
Great.
I mean, you know, some people, you know, I was kind of, you know, like the only horse person in my family, so I grew up and worked for lessons and stuff, but I pored over that George Morris book time and time again. It was like my reference. And then there he was, and, you know, he was so nice and so friendly, and we, you know, we had a chat, and then I had to call him the other day because they announced that he's going to, you know, retire in 2013, and they're looking for a new chef to keep. So we called in, or I called him and talked to him for a second or two, and the other interns gave me a hard time because after I got off the phone, I kept being like, he was just so nice. I just, you know, this was just so nice. So.
That's awesome. I love that because I think that, like, I'm going to audit at Jimmy Wofford Clinic this weekend.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And, I mean, I've interviewed a million people, and I don't think I'm going to be able to talk to him. Because I'm like you with Jimmy Wofford. I've read all his books. I was like, oh, my
right.
God, like Jimmy Wofford, Training the Three-Day Event Horse is like the greatest book of all time. And I did all the timed workouts in the back and everything. And, yeah, I'm going to be like a freaking 12-year-old. Like,
I hear stuttering. Like, yeah. right. It is pretty funny. And that's the thing up here, too, with names like Jimmy Wofford and, you know, like, because, well, obviously in Lexington we have Rolex every year. So I grew up going to Rolex and, you know, all these names that, you know, being younger, you know, spending 3 days watching them do ride at Rolex. And then up here, I ran into somebody the other day and we were talking. She's like, oh, who do you ride with? And I said, what about you? She said, oh, I ride with Jimmy Wofford. But just like, you know, just kind of like nonchalantly, you know, like I know he travels and stuff like that. And I was like, oh, all right. Well, that's really cool because it's accessible up here. So.
You're like, snob?
Yeah. I was like, do you think he has any open lessons? Yeah.
I'm like, hate you.
Yeah, right. I still yet to, there are tons of horses you can ride up here. People are, you know, throwing them at you left and right, so that's one good thing. But so you don't have to bring your own horse up here, but one of these days I'll, you know, try to get my own and maybe take some lessons with some of those famous names around the area.
Well, I'll tell you what, Megan, you would not know you were an intern. We were supposed to be our plan today, and it didn't
work.
You
were going to give me a hard time, weren't you?
We were. We were going to harass you and beat you up today, and we were figuring, well, if the Chronicle doesn't do it, we'll do it for them. And then you step up, and you're, like, entertaining and fun, and it's just – it ruined our whole day, actually.
Oh, no. I hope it didn't ruin your day. It's
no,
we're
just
kick off your Friday.
Just kidding. That was terrific. Now, so tell me just the real truth here, because you haven't given us any dirt on the Chronicle at all. So now at noontime on Fridays, everybody start drinking, and it turned into a wild party. Is that what happens?
Oh, yeah. It gets really wild here on Friday afternoon, you know? Well, no, especially I walked in this morning and there are like four of us in the office because, you know, everyone's out on assignment. So as wild as it gets, it pretty much, you know, Fridays are days that people bring their dogs in. So that's about as wild as it gets here at the Chronicle. You know, we're always working. There's so many – you're always working on something, which is really what's great about this kind of job, you know, because, you know, you're not like in a daily grind of certain things you have to do. Something's always coming up and you know, you're constantly doing something different, which you really can't ask for anything better than that when you're working. So
that is just way cool to say you work at the Chronicle. But I
yeah,
would like
exactly.
to just point something out that when Glenn says, we were going to give you a hard time, and you've ruined our day, and we are disappointed. He is talking about him and the mouse in his pocket, girl, because I wasn't going to give you a hard time at all.
I know. He probably is just jealous because he wishes he could be an intern at the Chronicle.
I'm pretty sure you're right.
I'm going to have to go up there. We're going to have to do the morning show from the Chronicle someday. That'd be fun.
Well, we're accepting applications for the next round of interns. So maybe we could organize the time you guys do your broadcast out of here with your interview, Greg. You know, for
I love her.
That's funny. Thank you, Megan. We appreciate you filling
in.
You're welcome back anytime.
Oh well, thanks so much.
All right. Now, of course, we should say that's chronofhorse.com, and that's the Chronicle of the Horse, and everybody knows that anyway. But I did want to get that plug in there.
Thank
you so much, Megan. We appreciate it.
You're welcome. You guys have a great weekend.
All right.
Talk to you soon.
Bye.
Jeez. No intimidating that Lexington girl, huh?
No way, dude. By the way, you cannot speak for me. You cannot say we are going to do this. You and the mouse in your pocket, my friend. You and the beast.
We're partners.
The cat.
We're like co-hosts. So when I speak for you too.
Oh, really?
It's a thing.
So
yeah, that's what you do in radio.
When I tell my stupid stories and I say we, should I start saying we? So we went riding this past weekend and we did this.
No, when it's
about
involving
you,
your stupid stories, no. You're on your own for your stupid stories.
Do you I had a starstruck moment, and like one of those moments that she was talking about where you become an absolute idiot, and this is going to, and I know women everywhere are going to understand because this just never happens. And I'd like to take you to Los Angeles, the Screen Actors Guild Awards that I was covering for the radio station I was working for. And this is your fun Friday story, and you can make fun of me for the rest of our existence here on the Horse Radio Network for this story. So,
I'm listening.
You
got my attention.
I'm in L.A. I'm all dressed up. I'm like at the Screen Actors Guild Awards. I've got my gown on. You know, I've been interviewing. Well, I got to go in and watch the award show. And this girl says to me, okay, listen, at commercial breaks, you have to run down the stairs and go to the bar. Because there's one bar in this whole place, and every celebrity at their table during commercial breaks goes back and gets drinks and then goes back to their table. Little behind-the-scenes thing right there. And I'm like, okay. So we run down during commercial breaks, and we're like freaking out because the SAG Awards is TV and movies, and everybody's there. Oh, my God. I walk up to the bar, and I go to order a drink, and standing next to me, oh, my God, is Leonardo DiCaprio. Leonardo DiCaprio is standing 2 feet from me, completely next to me. And this is when Blood Diamond was nominated for all those awards. So I am like, okay. And in my head, I'm like, okay, Jamie, this is never, ever going to happen to you ever again. Will you be standing 2 feet from Leonardo DiCaprio? Be cool. Okay, what am I going to say? Okay, I got something to say. I turn to Leonardo DiCaprio, and I'm like, how you say? I lost all control of my motor skills. I spit across the bar into Leonardo DiCaprio's drink. I was completely incapable of speaking English or moving a muscle that was not standing there completely locked. And I swear to you, he looked at me, kind of shook his head, and turned around and walked away. And I will never, ever stand next to Leonardo DiCaprio ever again. And I will guarantee you that to this day, Leonardo DiCaprio thinks to himself, wow, what a great thing that the Screen Actors Guild Awards lets in the special people to view the show. The drooling, mentally incapable, physically handicapped girl that I met by the bar Wow. Good for them.
I am falling off my ball here. Okay, so to help
the moment that I met
to help you with your credibility and your rehabilitation, okay. I have a challenge for you then. As your boss, this weekend, I want you to come back Monday morning with a flip video of you with Wofford doing a little interview.
No. Don't do it to me.
By Monday morning, if you want paid next week, you're going to have a flip video. This is helping you. I am looking after your dignity. I'm helping you in your career by helping you to overcome these intimidations that you have with these are just people. You know, Leonardo DiCaprio was probably buying a cheaper drink than you were. So I'm helping you. So by Monday morning, we expect to see that video playing on the Facebook page. By Monday morning. Okay?
I am sweating right now. I can't do it. Plus, all I have is my iPhone. I don't have a flip video. I mean,
Okay. Well, you're not getting out of it that easy. Every iPhone has a little audio function. And you just hit audio and you can do an interview and we'll play it Monday morning on the show. So you just hit audio and you hit record and you just hold it and then people talk and it records as a new thing. And we can play that on Monday morning. So I look forward to it. It's going to be fun. I think Jennifer probably would like to hear Jimmy Wofford too, wouldn't you, Jennifer?
I would enjoy Jimmy Wofford speaking to Jamie. Yes, I would.
Yeah, I would too. I think our listeners would really like it too, and I'm sure some of them are posting on the Facebook page at this moment that they would love to hear you interviewing Jimmy Wofford over the weekend and being a blumbering idiot like me right now.
No. I don't know. Can I just get a picture of me asking for his autograph?
Do you like paycheck?
You can record yourself asking for his autograph.
Okay, maybe I can do that. I don't know.
Because
I'll
you
try.
Know what?
I will Megan, try because
I couldn't intimidate and pick on Megan, so you're it. You're the only one I have left. I can't pick on my wife or I sleep on the couch. So there's only two people left on the show. It's me and you. And
I'm sure Jimmy Wofford would love the fact that he's being compared to my stage fright of Leonardo DiCaprio.
he'd probably be thrilled. So, all right, good. Well, we're looking forward to that interview on Monday morning. And, of course, that's it. This is it. We're going to get out of here. Be sure to listen to all the shows in the Horse Radio Network. They're all coming out right now. They all should be out by the end of the day for this week. So you can find them all at horseradionetwork.com. And, of course, you can follow us on Twitter at Horse Radio.
If you missed the live show, go ahead.
I was just going to say, and if Jamie can speak, she's going to finish.
Okay, I'm going to try. Okay, if you missed the live show, you can still listen to the recorded version on our website, affiliate websites, iTunes. You don't need to miss an episode except for Monday. Don't listen to that one at all, please, because it's going to be an embarrassment for me. We will be back on Tuesday morning. So Tuesday morning at 9 a.m. Eastern. Say goodbye, Glenn.
It's Freestyle Friday, everybody, so let's just play it out with this. Oh, not that one. Let's play it out with this.
Green on green makes black and blue. Wouldn't ride that horse if I were you. It's like walking on a hot, tight wire. Dynamite too close to fire.
That's it. Go away. See ya.